Hello, and welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. My name is Katie, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoy this episode. Remember that you can check out the description box for any links or other information you're looking for. This is episode number 137, Organizing versus Decluttering. Hey there, minimalists. I am excited about this topic today. I hope you are having a good day and thanks for being here to listen. I really like this topic. I think that it is something that I have learned a lot from by comparing the two, and I hope it's helpful to you today. I know that a lot of times I have in the past used organizing as a tool other than what it should be, really. And that's the heart of the topic today. So I'm not going to dive into it quite yet. First, I want to do my personal update, but I am excited about this topic. I hope that you get something out of it. I have a few pretty exciting things to let you know about. And for my personal update, for those of you that are new, I always like to give my personal update because I think that it really allows me to have some awareness of how I'm using my time, because as a minimalist, that's one of the biggest reasons why I practice. I want to have more time to do the things that I really want to do and not spend a bunch of time worrying about extra things on my schedule, in my home, whatever. So that's my goal in telling you about my New Year's resolutions and things like that. But also, I hope it allows for a little bit of a deeper connection because I love this community and it's fun to share a little bit. You can also come and hang out with me on Instagram. I'll link that in the description box of this episode in case you are curious about kind of what's going on over there. And I definitely post a couple pictures or video or things like that on occasion over there. So if you would like to do that, that'd be great. One of my goals for this year, it was to attend a retreat, and I had the opportunity to attend this Christian retreat. It was beautiful. It was on a spiritual kind of personal development level that I was really wanting. It was so good. I loved it very, very much. So I was glad to kind of check that off. But I also get to go and teach breathwork at an upcoming retreat with this gal that organized the one that I attended as a guest. So I'm really excited about that. Having that goal to attend a retreat, but also to facilitate breathwork at a retreat, seeing both of those coming to pass is just filling my whole soul. It makes me so happy. I love breathwork so much, and it's been a beautiful experience to be able to see that happening and to see other people interested and curious and helping them through the intentional breath. I love it, love it, love it. Breathwork is a beautiful practice. So I'm excited about that. That's coming up in about a month. Another goal that I had was to graduate by the end of February. And I know this is announcing it kind of late, but this one's a big one. Like, I have to talk about this today, even though it is April now. But I wanted to graduate from my breathwork facilitator training program by the end of February and just like have all my coursework done. And I did it. I was able to make that happen. I turned everything in by then. I wasn't officially graduated. Like, they didn't like process all my stuff until March 7th, but I had all of my stuff done by the end of February, and it was so awesome. And now I'm graduated. I'm certified, official, all that good stuff. And it just feels so wonderful to have accomplished that goal. It was a huge deal. It was a long program. It was about 250 hours. And I feel so good about it, and I'm excited to see what happens from here. If you want to try breathwork with me, definitely send me an email at howtobeaminimalist@gmail.com, or you can send me a message over on Instagram. It is a beautiful practice, and I would love to share with you more about it. I also want to get those group sessions going again based on the topic that we have discussed. I want to kind of tweak that a little bit, though, and fine-tune it. So that's not quite yet, but we'll get a session in there again pretty soon, and I will let you know as soon as I get that started. I have many more goals to mark off of my list, so I'll just keep on sharing starting again next episode. But for right now, let's get into this topic. I am very excited to talk about organizing versus decluttering. And the first thing, like my little example, my confession time, I guess, is that I got into a little bit of a mess with my desk. It had become a big dumping zone, and I felt very frustrated about this. But essentially, a lot of those frustrations led to me not doing anything with my desk, and it remained very much the same because I felt mostly just frustrated, and I got into a bit of an emotional loop. So I kept on having thoughts. Every time I'd see my desk, instead of like taking a minute to put five things away or something like that, I would instead allow myself to just get into that emotional loop. So I would think things like, my desk needs help, it's so messy, or I don't have time to figure this out, or how to make it any better. I feel overwhelmed even looking at this. So I should fix it, but I don't have time to fix it. And again, like just all that looping. Can you hear the looping? It's like nothing was a really productive thought about my desk. And it was frustrating because I use my desk all the time and I want it to be peaceful. I want it to be beautiful. I want it to be enjoyable. I think we all have spaces like this, though, where we tend to know it's a problem, know that there's something that we ought to do about it. However, it feels very much more overwhelming and bigger than it actually is as a problem. And that's kind of what I wanted to address as we're talking about organizing versus decluttering, because when I really started to look at my desk, I realized that I needed both organizing and decluttering in order to make the space better. But there was actually a lot more decluttering that needed to be done than the organizing. And also, as far as organizing, one of the things that held me back was I kept on thinking, oh, I need a basket for this. I need a bucket for this. I need to make sure that this is tucked away somewhere. I wish I had a drawer in this desk. And those all were very overwhelming things and things I just didn't want to deal with at that moment. I think we all have spaces like that, that when we are in an emotional loop, instead of looking at the space for what it really is, we just start to look at it like it's this massive problem that can never, ever, ever be fixed. And so instead of finding a solution, we'd become frustrated. One day I decided that I was going to use breathwork and meditation to figure out this problem and really try to visualize, what did I actually want to happen in this space? So I took a minute to do some meditation to clear my mind. I dropped into my body and I did breath work. And as I was breathing in this intentional pattern, I asked myself, what do I really want for this space? And a few steps came to mind. First off, I wanted it cleared. Secondly, I wanted it cleaned. Third, I wanted it to be reorganized. And the last thing I wanted was for it to be decluttered. And I thought it was interesting that this was the natural order that came across in my mind, not necessarily the order that it ended up happening in, but those were kind of the levels of importance to me. The next thing that occurred to me was that there were two surprising revelations, I guess, in my little meditative breathwork session. First off, I didn't actually want a bunch of organizing tools like baskets and drawers and all those things that had been holding me back. The second thing that was interesting to me was that until I let myself go into a more meditative space, I actually couldn't remove the guilt or the expectations or figure out what I really wanted for solutions. And I will tell you, my vision board has been driving me crazy. It was not hung up for a very long time. It was just kind of leaning up on my desk and it kind of looked okay where it was, but honestly, that's not where I wanted it, but I didn't know where to hang it. So during my meditative session, I realized that it actually is meant to be hung horizontally or vertically, but I wanted it to be hung horizontally. And while this doesn't seem like a big deal, it was one of the things that was a hang up to me figuring out how to put all of these things on my desk and have it in a way that was productive and would feel really good to me. I think that sometimes we get into the habit of telling ourselves, I need to fix this. And unintentionally, I think that this word can do a few things that ultimately ends up hindering us. So first off, fixing, like when you're in an emotional loop, the word fixing implies that something is broken, and broken things tend to be difficult to fix. They're not necessarily the easiest things to fix. And it makes us feel like there are no solutions. I know this is just me, so your experience might be totally different, but sometimes that word fixing and the implication of being broken, it is difficult for me. And that was kind of what I was feeling about my desk. It was a mess and it was not ever going to be able to be fixed because it could not be. There were things that were just not ever going to happen. The second thing I think that especially when you're in an emotional loop, the word fixing can imply is guilt because you let something become broken because you didn't fix it earlier. You weren't a good steward of that item. That word fixing to me has become something I'm a little bit more aware of, I guess. And often it reminds me to check out whether I'm in an emotional loop or not, because my reaction to it tends to be a little bit different when I'm in an emotional loop versus when I'm not. From this place of guilt and brokenness and needing to fix things, our spaces, relationships, schedule, health, whatever it is that you're wanting to quote unquote fix, I think it can often lead us into places of being defensive, hopeless, and justifying why we can't fix that thing. Interestingly, for me, I think that this often comes from not wanting to feel that guilt and wanting validation that I'm doing my best. So I'm not really trying to go into those emotional loops and bring on feeling defensive or hopeless or trying to justify. It's just that I have created a problem, or a problem has been created in such a way where I feel helpless. And I also don't want to feel that guilt. I don't want to feel like I have just another thing on me that is loaded with shame. And I think a lot of us feel that way. It's kind of difficult, I think, to not, especially when you are the caretaker of your home, or you're trying to be a good steward of your home, and it's just not going quite how you want it to. In my practice about my desk, I allowed myself to go into a space of really feeling, allowing myself just to feel for a minute all of the frustration surrounding my desk. I also then approached the space and myself with love. I asked myself, what would I love this space to be like? What music do I want to listen to while I'm making this space as beautiful as I can possibly make it, and what I really want it to be? I also asked myself, would it be nice to have some help? And once again, I noticed that this really allowed me to come back to a place that turned off the emotional looping and got me into a path of being more productive. It removed the shame, it removed the guilt, it removed the justifying, and just got me into, okay, well, this is where it is right now. Yes, it feels frustrating, but what would I like it to be? And it, in kind of taking that ownership of what I wanted it to be like, I actually empowered myself to make changes. So I got the space all cleaned up, my friends. And I love it now. And it also has one thing that I have not purchased yet. And that one thing appears to be very essential to making sure that this space stays clean, because it's a little bit cluttered after tax season. So anyway, it's a work in progress. But a few things that I noticed in the differences between decluttering and organizing: sometimes we really have decluttered a space as much as we'd like, and organizing is what is actually needed. It's the next step. Like, there's no more decluttering. It's done. And now what we need to do is organize it to give it the warmth of the space that we desire, to create it into and transform it into the beautiful space that we want it to be, to serve the purpose that we have in mind for it. When I was working on my desk, I definitely noticed the point when I had decluttered enough. It was everything there was something that was needed, and I really just needed at that point to start moving into organization mode. And sometimes that's a hang up for people. I know for me, sometimes I don't want to go through the mental energy it takes to figure out how would this actually best serve me, my family, whatever. And I don't really want to think about it. And I don't really want to get stuck in figuring out the tools that I need and go hunting them down and all of that stuff. I really don't love shopping anymore. It's kind of a nuisance at this point. So, you know, finding something that I need to purchase and bring into my home is not always my favorite thing to do. And so I will avoid the organizing part. But really, we have to address that part too. In order to have a home that is highly functional, things not only need to be decluttered, they also need to be organized. So recognizing that point is pretty essential. Kind of a flip side to that is that sometimes organizing is a way to hide from decluttering. It makes us feel better because it looks a little bit better, but it isn't actually what we ultimately need to do in that space. So having the recognition, again, between whether you need to declutter or organize or do both is really essential here in order, again, to have a highly functional home that is exactly what you want it to be, how you want it to be, how it will best serve you in this moment right now. Another point that I came across when I was decluttering my desk and organizing it, transforming it, all of that stuff, is that I had to declutter in order to make space for organizing. I knew that organizing was essential, but I didn't realize how much I needed to declutter before I was going to be able to have the space to transform it and organize it. So it's really important to notice that first task is often to clean up a space unless it's already cleaned up. I personally had to declutter paperwork and completed projects and things like that I no longer needed. I had a lot of stuff that was my, like, part of my breathwork program that I no longer needed, things like that. So I really had to do that in order to make space for organizing. And that's something that we need to take note of. It's probably a good idea to look at your space and see, like, what do I need to do first? What is my first step? That was what I did in that meditative breathwork session that I did for myself. And cleaning up and clearing out, those were like the first couple of things that were essential in order to actually make space for the organizing that I wanted to have happen. I wanted to add in to this space right now that sometimes we need to organize our clutter because it's the best that we can do with what we have right now. Sometimes just being a little bit more gentle is what we need. Sometimes what is happening to a space is our best. And when we don't recognize that, when we don't acknowledge the difficulty we're going through, when we let what we perceive others' thoughts to be or actual others' thoughts to be about a space or whatever, when we let that kind of eat away at what we're doing, Sometimes the last thing that's on our plate is I need to also, on top of everything I'm going through right now, go through and declutter my whole house. That sounds overwhelming sometimes. Maybe what you need to do is honestly just organize your space because that will make it a little bit better. And decluttering later will help you more. People have shared with me their perspective on this kind of topic, that we shouldn't be easy on ourselves, that we should just push through and declutter. And you might even be thinking that for yourself or about me right now. That's okay. You can have your opinion, but hear me out on this for a second. If you attach even more guilt and shame to your items that you are already struggling to get rid of, is that actually helpful? Or is it better to say, wow, in this season, I'm not ready to declutter and I'm going to honor myself by just making it look a little neater. And when it's the right time, I will absolutely get to the decluttering part. I think that is a lot more self-honoring in my opinion, and it's a lot less likely to actually turn into something that is a long-term problem that actually piles on more emotion to and emotional looping to those items that we're having a little bit of a difficult time getting rid of. This is my philosophy, I guess, is that yes, we can push through. There will be times. And if you're feeling that right now, if you're feeling overwhelmed right now, take heart. There will be a time when you're like ready to go and you're in a better place and it's going to be easier for you to get rid of a lot of the things that you would like to get rid of, but are having a difficult time doing so right now. You might be in a place where you actually need to use therapy, breathwork, yoga, meditation, going on a run, whatever, in order to get to the place where you feel like you're ready to declutter some things. And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. So organizing your home to make it look nicer and enjoy it more isn't a bad thing in and of itself. The thing is, it is a little bit of a band-aid. However, I notice that when I give myself permission to just like clean and organize a little bit, the decluttering naturally happens as I'm going. It's a baby step, but it's still a step. It's totally still a step. And we sometimes need that. And sometimes it's a self-honoring to just do that. And it's totally okay. I would say that the flip side of that is that if you're not in a place where you need to be super gentle with yourself, declutter first, go for it. Turn on your favorite music that gets you like kind of excited, invigorated or whatever, and go through the decluttering first, then organize. Because I think that in this situation where you're like prepared to declutter, you're ready for that step, I think you actually save time because you end up doing it in a proper order. You're not spending time organizing something, then deconstructing it in order to declutter and then organizing it again. I think you also save money because a lot of times when we just need to organize something, we end up purchasing tools to or spending time, honestly, to find things that will work to help us organize better, like baskets, buckets, shelves, whatever. And if you do that first and then you declutter, you'll find that you don't need as many things as you thought you did, which is exactly what happened with my desk space. I really did think that I needed to go and purchase like 5 things. I need one. So it's amazing how when you do it in kind of that order of decluttering and organizing, you're able to work through things in a very streamlined order. I know for me that this was not always the case. I was not able to do this. I needed more gentleness with myself. I needed the time that I needed to process. And I have honestly come so far. I haven't done an origins kind of podcast episode in a really long time. I probably should do that. But from where I came, you all would be very surprised. I honestly have come so far and I'm proud of myself, but it wasn't because I sat there and wrangled and degraded myself. It was because I took the time that I needed to be able to process. I was also very open and honest with myself about that, and also very honest and open about why I had all the things that I had, as well as kept on doing those, falling through with those same habits that I had. And you know, as I'm talking about that, maybe that's one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions are so important to me. It's because I want to keep on progressing. I want to continue changing. I never want to forget why I went through that really intense process of decluttering and reorganizing and changing my whole life and my philosophies around purchasing and items. It was hard. So spending time on goals instead is a much better use of my time and resources. My minimalist challenge for you today is to kind of work through the same process that I did. So what I would like for you to do is, okay, and not while you're driving or in water, like wait until you're in a safe place to do this, because it is very beneficial to close your eyes. So if you're not safe to close your eyes for a few minutes, then hold on and do this later. When you're ready though, I'm going to guide you through a little bit of a meditation around your space. So first off, allow yourself to close your eyes and just take a couple of deep breaths. And what I'd like you to do next is to just imagine the space that you'd really like to change. Don't make it your whole home. Don't make it a massive space. Keep it smaller, like a closet or a room. Imagine it as it is and allow yourself to feel all the frustration, feel all of the discouragement, whatever feelings are coming up for you. It's really okay to be honest with yourself for just a minute. If there are any thoughts that come to you that are self-degrading, let them float away. Maybe imagine them like a leaf on a river, just floating downstream and disappearing. And now, if you could snap your fingers and have this space be completely redone, what would you love for that space to feel like? When you go into this room or when you open this closet, what would you love to feel? And can you just take a moment to allow that feeling to expand within you? Next, can you ask yourself, what purpose would I love for this space to serve? And next, can you ask yourself, what does this space look like? Can you imagine every detail? Next, asking yourself, do you need to remove things? Or do you need to organize things? And maybe there's a little bit of both. When you are in the process of actually transforming the space, what would it feel like to make it an enjoyable experience? And what would you need to do that? Would there be beautiful music? Would there be fun music? Would there be delicious snacks? Or perhaps a trip to the coffee shop afterward? What would make it enjoyable to transform it? Finally, can you thank yourself, or even just give yourself a tiny bit of appreciation for doing your best with that space so far? And can you lovingly, without any guilt, invite in that change? When you're ready, allow yourself to open your eyes and orient yourself to the space. Maybe even ask yourself, how do I feel about that space I want to transform now? Is there a difference? Do you feel the same? Do you want to practice that exercise one more time? My big thing here is I hope that as you are transforming your homes into what you really want it to be, your schedule into what you really want it to be, whatever it is that you came up with as your space that you would like to transform, I hope that you do it in a very loving way. That is gentle and understanding, while also being encouraging and full of hope. I hope that this episode helped you to have a little bit of a different perspective on your home and how to make it an even more beautiful space for yourself. I also thank you for joining me for this episode, and I hope that you come back again next time. Remember, it is all about the experiences, not the stuff.